Chapter 4. This is hinted here only to inform the reader that this engine is the safest passage that ever was found out, and that saving that one time, it never miscarried, nor, if the common order of things be observed, cannot miscarry, for the good feathers are always negatives when any precipitant motion is felt, and immediately suppress it by their number, and these negative feathers are indeed the traveler's safety. The other are always upon the flutter, and upon every occasion a for the moon, up in the clouds presently. But these negative feathers are never for going up, but when there is occasion for it. And from hence these fluttering fermented feathers were called by the Antients high-flying feathers, and the blustering things seemed proud of the name. But to come to their general character, the feathers, speaking of them altogether, are generally very comely, strong, large, beautiful things. Their quills or heads well fixed, and the cavities filled with a solid substantial matter, which though it is full of spirit, has a great deal of temperament, and full of suitable well-disposed powers, to the operation for which they are designed. These placed, as I noted before, in an extended form like two great wings, and operated by that sublime flame, which being concealed in proper receptacles, obtains its vent at the cavities appointed, are supplied from thence with life and motion, and as fire it fell, in the opinion of some learned men, is nothing but motion, and motion tends to fire. It can no more be a wonder, if exalted in the center of this famous engine, a whole nation should be carried up to the world in the moon. 'Tis true, this engine is frequently assaulted with fierce winds, and furious storms, which sometimes drive it a great way out of its way, and indeed, considering the length of the passage, and the various regions it goes through, it would be strange, if it should meet with no obstructions. These are oblique gales, and cannot be said to blow from any of the 32 points, but retrograde and thwart. Some of these are called in their language, pensionazima, which is as much as to say, being interpreted, a court breeze, another sort of wind, which generally blows directly contrary to the pensionazima, is the climorio, or in English, a country gale. This is generally tempestuous, full of gusts and disgusts, squalls and sudden blasts, not without claps of thunder, and not a little flashing of heat and party fires. There are a great many other internal blasts, which proceed from the fire within, which sometimes not circulating right, breaks out in little gusts of wind and heat, and is apt to endanger setting fire to the feathers, and this is more or less dangerous, according as among which of the feathers it happens, for some of the feathers are more apt to take fire than others, as their quills or heads are more or less full of that solid matter mentioned before. The engine suffers frequent convulsions and disorders from these several winds, and which, if they chance to overblow very much, hinder the passage, but the negative feathers always apply temper and moderation, and this brings all to rights again. For a body like this, what can it not do? What cannot such an extension perform in the air? And when one thing is tacked to another, and properly consolidated into one mighty consolidator, no question but whoever shall go up to the moon, will find himself, so improvident in this wonderful experiment, that not a man ever performed that wonderful flight, but he certainly came back again as wise as he went. Well, gentlemen, and what if we are called high flyers now, and 100 names of contempt and distinction, what is this to the purpose, who would not be a high flyer, to be tacked and consolidated in an engine of such sublime elevation, and which lifts men, monarchs, members, yea, and whole nations, up into the clouds, and performs with such wondrous art, the long-expected experiment of a voyage to the moon? And thus much for the description of the consolidator. The first voyage I ever made to this country was in one of these engines, and I can safely affirm, I never whacked all the way, and now having been as often there as most that have us at that trade, it may be expected I should give some account of the country, For it appears, I can give but little of the road. Only this I understand, that when this engine, by help of these artificial wings, has raised itself up to a certain height, the wings are as useful, to keep it from falling into the moon, as they were before to raise it, and keep it from falling back into this region again. This may happen from an alteration of centers, and gravity having passed a certain line, the equipoise changes its tendency, the magnetic quality being beyond it, it inclines of course, and pursues a center, which it finds in the lunar world, and lands us safe upon the surface. I was told, I need take no bills of exchange with me, nor letters of credit. For that upon my first arrival, the inhabitants would be very civil to me. That they never suffered any of our world to want anything when they came there. That they were very free to show them anything, and inform them in all needful cases, and that whatever rarities the country afforded, should be exposed immediately. I shall not enter into the customs, geography, or history of the place, only acquaint the reader, that I found, no manner of difference in anything natural, except as hereafter accepted, but all was exactly as is here, an elementary world, peopled with folks, as like us, as if they were only inhabitants of the same continent, but in a remote climate. The inhabitants were men, women, beasts, birds, fishes, and insects, of the same individual species as ours, the latter excepted. The men no wiser, better, nor bigger than here, the women no handsomer or honester than ours. There were knaves and honest men, honest women and whores of all sorts, countries, nations, and kindreds, as on this side the skies. They had the same sun to shine, the planets were equally visible as to us, and their astrologers were as busily impertinent as ours, only that those wonderful glasses hinted before made strange discoveries, that we were unacquainted with. By them they could plainly discover, that this world was their moon, and their world our moon. And when I came first among them, the people that flocked about me, distinguished me by the name of, the man that came out of the moon. I cannot, however, but acquaint the reader, with some remarks I made in this new world, before I come to anything historical. I have heard, that among the generality of our people, who being not much addicted to revelation, have much concerned themselves about demonstrations, a generation have risen up, who to solve the difficulties of supernatural systems, imagine a mighty vast something, who has no form, but what represents him to them as one great eye. This infinite optic they imagine to be natura naturans, or power forming, and that as we pretend the soul of man has a similitude in quality to its original, according to a notion some people have, who read that, so much ridiculed old legend, call it Bible, that man was made in the image of his maker. The soul of man, therefore, in the opinion of these naturalists, is one vast optic power deficit through him into all his parts, but seated principally in his head. From hence they resolve all beings to eyes, some more capable of sight and receptive of objects than others. And as to things invisible, they reckon nothing so, only so far as our sight is deficient, contracted or darkened by accidents from without, as distance of plus, interposition of vapors, clouds, liquid air, exhalations, and seer from within, as wandering errors, wild notions, cloudy understandings, and empty fancies, with a thousand other interposing obstacles to the sight, which darken it, and prevent its operation, and particularly obstruct the perceptive faculties, weaken the head, and bring mankind in general, to stand in need of the spectacles of education, as soon as ever they are born. Nay, and as soon as they have made use of these artificial eyes, all they can do, is but to clear the sight so far, as to see, that they can see, the utmost wisdom of mankind, and the highest improvement a man ought to wish for, being but to be able to see, that he was born blind, This pushes him upon search after mediums for the recovery of his sight, and away he runs to school to art and science, and there he is furnished with horoscopes, microscopes, telescopes, coloscopes, moniscopes, and the DL and all of glasses, to help and assist his moon-blind understanding. These with wonderful skill and ages of application, after wandering through bogs and wildernesses of guess, conjectures, supposes, calculations, and he knows not what, which he meets with in physics, politics, ethics, astronomy, mathematics, and such sort of bewildering things, bring him with vast difficulty to a little minute spot, call a demonstration. And as not one in 10,000 ever finds the way thither, but are lost in the tiresome uncouth journey, so they that do, 'tis so long, before they come there, that they are grown old, and good for little in the journey, and no sooner have they obtained a glimmering of this universal eyesight, this eclaircissement general, but they die, and have hardly time to show the way to those that come after. Now, as the earnest search after this thing called demonstration filled me with desires of seeing everything, so my observations of the strange multitude of mysteries I met with in all men's actions here, spurred my curiosity to examine, if the great eye of the world, had no people to whom he had given a clearer eyesight, or at least, that made a better use of it than we had here. If pursuing this search I was much delighted at my arrival into China, it cannot be thought strange, since there we find knowledge as much advanced beyond our common pitch, as it was pretended to be derived from a more ancient original. We are told, that in the early age of the world, the strength of invention exceeded all that ever has been arrived to since. That we in these latter ages, having lost all that pristine strength of reason and invention, which died with the ancients in the flood, and receiving no helps from that age, have by long search arrived at several remote parts of knowledge, by the helps of reading conversation and experience. But that all amounts to no more than faint imitations, apings, and resemblances of what was known in those masterly ages. Now, if it be true as is hinted before, that the Chinese Empire was peopled long before the flood, and that they were not destroyed in the general deluge in the days of Noah, 'tis no such strange thing that they should so much outdo us in this sort of eyesight we call general knowledge, since the perfections bestowed on nature, when in her youth and prime met with no general suffocation by that calamity. But if I was extremely delighted with the extraordinary things I saw in those countries, you cannot but imagine I was exceedingly moved, when I heard of a lunar world, and that the way was passable from these parts. I had heard of a world in the moon among some of our learned philosophers, and Moore, as I have been told, had a moon in his head. But none of the fine pretenders, no not Bishop Wilkins, ever found mechanic engines, whose motion was sufficient to attempt the passage. A late happy author indeed, among his mechanic operations of the spirit, had found out an enthusiasm, which if he could have pursued to its proper extreme, without doubt might, either in the body, or out of the body, have landed him somewhere hereabout. But that he formed his system wholly upon the mistaken notion of wind, which learned hypothesis being directly contrary to the nature of things in this climate, where the elasticity of the air is quite different, and where the pressure of the atmosphere has for want of vapor no force, all his notion dissolved in its native vapor called wind, and flew upward in blue streaks of a livid flame called blasphemy, which burned up all the wit and fancy of the author, and left a strange stench behind it, that has this unhappy quality in it, that everybody that reads the book smells the author, though he be never so far off. Nay, though he took shipping to Dublin, to secure his friends from the least danger of a conjecture. But to return to the happy regions of the lunar continent, I was no sooner landed there, and had looked about me, but I was surprised with the strange alteration of the climate and country, and particularly a strange salubrity and fragrancy in the air, which I felt so nourishing, so pleasant and delightful, that though I could perceive some small respiration, it was hardly discernible, and the least requisite for life, supplied so long, that the billows of nature were hardly employed. But as I shall take occasion to consider this in a critical examination into the nature, uses, and advantages of good lungs, of which by itself, so I think fit, to confine my present observations to things more particularly concerning the eyesight. I was, you may be sure, not a little surprised, when being upon an eminence I found myself capable by common observation, to see and distinguish things at the distance of 100 miles and more, and seeking some information on this point, I was acquainted by the people, that there was a certain grave philosopher hard by, that could give me a very good account of things. It is not worth while to tell you this man's lunar name, of whether he had a name, or no, 'tis plain, 'twas a man in the moon, but all the conference I had with him was very strange. At my first coming to him, he asked me, if I came from the world in the moon? I told him, no. At which he began to be angry, told me I lied, he knew whence I came as well as I did, for he saw me all the way. I told him, I came to the world in the moon, and began to be as surly as he. It was a long time, before we could agree about it, he would have it, that I came down from the moon, and I, that I came up to the moon. From this, we came to explications, demonstrations, spheres, globes, regions, atmospheres, and a thousand odd diagrams, to make the thing out to one another. I insisted on my part, as that my experiment qualified me to know, and challenged him to go back with me to prove it. He, like a true philosopher, raised a thousand scruples, conjectures, and spherical problems, to confront me, and as for demonstrations, he called them fancies of my own. Thus we differed a great many ways. Both of us were certain, and both uncertain. Both right, and yet both directly contrary. How to reconcile this jangle was very hard, till at last this demonstration happened, the moon as he called it, turning her blind side upon us 3 days after the change, by which, with the help of his extraordinary glasses, I that knew the country, perceived that side the sun looked upon was all moon, and the other was all world. And either I fancy it I saw, or else really saw all the lofty towers of the immense cities of China. Upon this, and a little more debate, we came to this conclusion, and there the old man and I agreed, that they were both moons and both worlds, this a moon to that, and that a moon to this, like the sun between two looking glasses, and shone upon one another by reflection, according to the oblique or direct position of each other. This afforded us a great deal of pleasure, for all the world covet to be found in the right, and are pleased when their notions are acknowledged by their antagonists. It also afforded us many very useful speculations, such as these. 1. How easy it is for men to fall out, and yet all sides, to be in the right. 2. How natural it is for opinion to despise demonstration. 3. How proper mutual inquiry is to mutual satisfaction. From the observation of these glasses, we also drew some puns, crotchets, and conclusions. First, that the whole world has a blind side, a dark side, and a bright side, and consequently so has everybody in it. Thirdly, that the dark side of affairs today may be the bright side tomorrow, from whence abundance of useful morals were also raised, such as, 1. No man's fate is so dark, but when the sun shines upon it, it will return its rays, and shine for itself. 2. All things turn like the moon, up to day, down tomorrow, full and change, flux, and reflux. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.